we left off last week, in the middle of a major discussion about what the nature of this halacha of Ein Mevatlin Islach Achila is all about. Everybody subscribes to this din, everybody agrees that I can't take a piece of chazer and toss it into the potato soup and just calculate, no problem, as long as it's less than shishim, we're good to go. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to do that. The question is, where does that issa come from? So the Mishnah records it in Maseches Trumos. The Gemara discusses that in a few places, but it's not absolutely clear from the sugyas themselves. Is this itself prohibited midaraisa? There's something wrong in a Torah would be mevatel issa? Or no, maybe minatorah. I can play whatever games I want. If minatorah, I'm careful to make sure that it will be batel. So there's nothing. Where does it say if you stay in the chumash? It doesn't say it anywhere. So maybe it's not awesome. Maybe there's nothing wrong with being mevatel issa lechilchila love of deraisa. Maybe the entire institution is only midrabbanan. And there's going to be nafkaminas. It's important for us to know whether we're dealing with the deraisa to gedin or derabbanan to gedin. So one of the strange makoros to this topic is really our sugya, because our Gemara, in discussing the sugya of Zerua B'Sheila, which became was so important on so many different levels, going back to that model in the Beis HaMikdash, of the Nazir brings his carbon at the end of his Nazirus, and one of the carbonas is a carbon shlomim. The carbon shlomim is eaten by Yisraelim, but there's one part of that carbon, a few parts, but one part of the carbon that's not going to be eaten by Yisrael, that's the Zerua. The Zerua has to be eaten only by the Kohanim and his families. So that Zerua is, I know some people, you know, took issue with the phrase that I used, but we'll use it again. It's treif, so to speak. I mean, it's not really treif. If it's aser, it's kodesh, it's treif. It's off limits for achila min haTorah to the Yisrael. And the Torah says, go and cook the whole ram together, the whole aisle together. It says, rabbi shalem and aisle, cook the whole thing lock, stack, and barrel in the same pot at the same time. So clearly there's going to be some transferring of tam, of min, whatever we want to call it, from one to another. And the Torah says, good. The Torah says, okay, you get a green light to do that. So it's that din tucked away in Parshas Naso, in the middle of a detail of Hilchos Nazir, that becomes so critical. It becomes the source for so much of Chul Nirodeh, so much Torah revolves around the sugya of El Nazir. Haraya, we've already been in the sugya for 3 weeks, and we haven't even, I don't know if we got rover the sugya through, I can't tell you, but well, there are definitely a lot more parts of the sugya that's still open for discussion. So this is a major, major sugya. On this past Thursday, so I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I daven in Shachar for the Kosel Thursday morning. So I say in Kavanos, so I started like to choke up with emotion when I say Ezem Kevin. I got to a Tol Devil Nozer Kedoshim Kalam. I said, "Wow, this is it." I said, "It's like the Torah is just like sitting here." So I thought of you. Nothing I forgot about you. I thought about that Thursday morning. So back to that story. So in the middle of this sugya of El Nozer discussion about the intricacies of Shishim, derived from El Nazir, the Gemara makes the following statement. The Gemara says that this idea of El Nazir is really a tremendous chiddush. It's a huge, huge chiddush. It shouldn't have been this way. Based on the regular rules of halacha, this shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be matter. Well, you do it. Marshall said, you do it, you do it. But if you want to know what we would have thought otherwise, in a million years we wouldn't have thought of doing this. Why wouldn't we have thought of this? What's the tremendous chiddush? So if you remember back to the first Rambam quotes for a second, Rashi says, chiddushu, t'lechachila het t'levat l'isser. The tremendous chiddush of El Nazir is that you're allowed to be mevat l'isser, something that would be unheard of otherwise. Now the Gemara is discussing on a level of deraisa, and the Gemara is analyzing whether El Nazir, whether Zerua B'Sheila is an exception to the rules on a level of deraisa. We're not interested in mixing in dinim derabanan to this calculation. So the Gemara uses as the model of the chiddush, Rashi sticks in the mut levat l'isurim. You see from here that normally that would be impossible, that would be inconceivable to permit bittul isurim on a level of their ISIS. That was the source of Rashi we spoke about last week. Rashi clearly is saying that Eim Vat Nesach Achila is itself an issue of their ISIS. But on the other side, we pointed out last week that Tosfos and the Ran were of the opinion that that's not what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says that this is such a huge chiddush, inconceivable in other areas of Halacha, not that it's mutl Vat Lisurin, but rather that you're supposed to. The Torah is telling you, Hini mucham zum l'shei mitzvah pouring chazer into my potato soup. That's crazy. That's nuts. No, there would never ever be such a din in other areas of halacha. So the fact that the Torah instructs you, commands you to do it, that's the chiddush. The fact that it's mutter to do it, that doesn't mean anything. That's not a great chiddush. You always mutter to be mevat l'isurim deraisa. So that nuance of difference between Rashi against the Ran, whether the chiddush of the Gemara is the het there, but the chiddush of the Gemara is the mitzvah makes all the difference in the world. According to Rashi, Eim Mevat Lesel Lechachila is a bona fide issur d'oraisa. According to the Ran, it's not true. It's only mid-derabbanan. So at the end of the shiur last week, we pointed out the sheet of the Nei Yehuda. That's what we left literally in the middle of the Nei Yehuda last week. The Nei Yehuda says that he wants to make a pshara, wants to make a compromise, that sometimes emavatlas l'chil is also in the Torah, and sometimes emavatlas l'chil is also in the Rabbanan. What led the Nei Yehuda to say that? So that was that Gemara Maseches Kedushin. Remember about the Tzipora Metzora. The Gemara says that there are two birds that the Metzora brings, and one of them is going to be Aser, afterwards one of them is going to be Mutter, and we're not sure which is the Aser, which is the Mutter. The one that shechted is the Aser, or the one that set free is the Aser. So the Gemara says it can't be the one that set free. That's ridiculous, because La'omer Torah Shalach L'Takola. The Torah never would have said to do such a thing, to throw the bird out into the wild, if it would be Aser, thereby trafing up, in a sense, all the other birds in the world. So the Poskim of Bob and the Kash, what do you mean, trafe up all the other birds? It's only going to be one bird. It's going to be a billion other birds. It's going to be both of them. I love him. So the Nebuchadnezzar says, obviously, what the Gemara's concern was, it would be inconceivable for the Torah to be mounted that. Really? So the Nebuchadnezzar said, yes. Yavish b'yavish versus lach b'lach. And that was really the end of the shiur last week. The Nebuchadnezzar said that if the Tarovus is done in a way of liquids, I take some chaza soup and I mix it into other soups. I take trefa chicken soup, mix it into kosher chicken soup. That kind of bitul isurim is really muta min haTorah. There's really nothing wrong with that. Why? There's nothing here. At the end of the day, the issur is God. I can't find it. I can't discern. I can't separate it. The issur, for all practical and halachic purposes, is gone. Goodbye. Done. Finish. And that's when it's lach b'lach. And it's yavish b'yavish. It's a different story. I take three pieces of meat. Imagine min haTorah to do the following. I have three pieces of meat, two kosher, one nevela. I close my eyes, throw them into a basket, mix it up, hocus pocus, now I have dinner for tonight. So the Nebuta says, that's also been a Torah, because it's there. Of course it's there. It hasn't lost its character, it hasn't lost its quality, it hasn't dispersed into the other pieces. It's just right now, you're allowed to theoretically eat all three, because you don't know which is which. So never along on Bitl Barov. But the Isser is there. The Isser has come out of the Isser Dami. So therefore the Nebuta says that Bitl Isur of Yavish B'Yavish, that's a non-starter. That's for sure a problem in a Torah. Bitalach balach, maybe that's about the bit of Torah. Maybe we can negotiate. So that was the Nei Yehuda's breakthrough on last week. But now we're going to move into the second half of the Nei Yehuda, where the Nei Yehuda puts a little bit less emphasis on the Yavish B'Yavish part, a little bit more in terms of the numbers. So if you take a look, let's see if we can find the line. It's the top of the Nei Yehuda, top of the page, by Malcolm 6. It's four lines from the end of the Nei Yehuda. The very last two words. Well, four lines from the beginning of the Nei Yehuda. It's right back in the middle of the paragraph. It's the fourth line, the end of the line. B'prat b'zro b'sheila, sh'ayim bo shishim omeya l'chol ma'akid islay. It first of all says in the Nei Yehuda, zro b'sheila, the numbers are tremendous. The numbers are 60 times of the animal connected to Zeroa. According to one opinion, maybe it's 100 times connected to Zeroa. The Bazeh ain't no tzrichin latiro mitamach v'ram mahatos. We don't even need ro for this. Imagine a world for a minute, says the Nei Yehuda, that Pashas Mishpatim didn't exist. Imagine it doesn't say those words, achram mahatos. Imagine there's no such thing as bitl barov. What would we do with Yisurim? What would we do in our kitchens? Says the Nei Yehuda, no big deal. Even if we didn't have a world of Rove, what would we say? Well, Ra Kaven Shiyesh Kan Shishim, Ein Kan Tam Klal. Said, what we would have to do is, we'd have to be Meshai B'Shishim. When the Shishim, I don't need a Pusuk for Shishim. Shishim is the lab work. Shishim is go to the lab, I see. There's no Tam. So it says in a beautiful Nishishim Isav. And whenever you have a situation of Shishim, there's nothing there. So, Bazeh Svil La Tosis, he's not referring to the Tosis that we mentioned, it's a different Tosis. Shemut Levat Lechad Chilim in HaTorah. Says in Ed Behuda, he says that when you're dealing with such exorbitant numbers of Shishim, and there's no Tam here, the lack of Tam is a bitl in and of itself, even without the Chiddush HaTorah V'Acharei Mahatos. So that's okay, even Lechad Chila. The problem is that when you don't have shishim, when there's no tam, there's no spreading of taste, you're simply relying on the principle of rov. To rely on rov, you're not allowed to min haTorah. If you think about it conceptually, what the Rebbe is saying is as follows. Rov is a sheer bittel. Rov, I'm being mevatel something. So, ein mevatlin is lechad chila. Shishim is not a bittel. Shishim is, there's nothing. It's nothing there, b'chol. There's nothing there. Even in HaTorah, there's nothing there. So therefore, the Nebuta says, Vazen Nicha, and basically what I just said is, Ma'ad Omru, now we understand what the Gemara says, Shalichu Mitzipor Yonidachas, it's like the Sugi of Tzipor Mitzor, a different twist. La Omru Torah Shachat Takola. That's the throwback to what we said before. Namely, the Nebuta is saying, is that whenever you have a parasha of Bittul Barov that you have to reckon with, we say to you, sorry, whenever you're dealing with the parasha Bittul B'Shishim, which is Kaman D'Leisa, that's Mutter even Min HaTorah. So it's a little bit of a different twist on the Teretz from before. Before the Teretz was the distinction between Yavish B'Yavish versus Lach B'Lach. Now he's distinguishing between 1 to 2 ratio or 1 to 60 ratio. But the underlying premise of that view that is such that basically what we're saying is that Eimav Vatlin, Islach Achila, Deraisa Derabanan, is not an absolute. It depends. It depends what kind of bitl we're talking about. If we're dealing with a bitl of Yavish B'Yavish, that's Asa Min HaTorah. We're dealing with Lach B'Lach, that's Mutta Min HaTorah. We're dealing with a bitl of B'Shishim, that's Mutta Min HaTorah. We're dealing with a bitl of Rov, that's Asa Min HaTorah. The answer to the question is not as exact as it would appear in the Rishonim itself. So, Kopanim, this is the breakthrough of the Nei Debiyuta. The question is, in Rishonim, do we find this distinction at all? Definitely not explicit. And not only not explicit, but we actually find to the contrary. We find in Rishonim that lumped all Tarobsim together. Take a stand on the issue. You think Eimavat Lesarchil is Deraisa, Zalzan is Deraisa all the time. You think it's Derabanan, Zalzan is Derabanan all the time. These intricate details and differences and distinctions that the Nadiv Yehuda has created for us, which make a lot of sense. They're very logical. We're not criticizing the Nadiv Yehuda's lumdus. They do make a lot of sense. But in terms of Rishonim itself, we don't find these distinctions. And in anything, we find a little bit to the contrary. So we're going to take a little bit of a step back now from the Sugya of Eimav Atlas Lechila. Don't worry about it, but we still have plenty to go in the Sugya of Eimav Atlas Lechila. But I want to just branch out to a related Sugya within Chulin. It's something that we've spoken about a little bit in the past. We're going to try to elaborate upon it right now. And eventually, it's going to get us right back to where we started. It's going to ultimately connect back to Eimav Atlas Lechila. So you may forget for the next day or two that we're learning Eimavat L'Chachila. Hang in there, don't worry, we will hopefully find our way back at the right time. So we're going to detour for a moment and discuss a related sugya, something we've talked about a little bit in the past, and that's the sugya of No Sein Tam Lefgam. We've said this many times, that although there's a loch of Tam Ki'ikar, according to many, many opinions in HaTorah, so what I could taste as a problem, nevertheless, if tam that's being emitted into the food is a bad tasting tam, so that's called the nosin tam of gam. And for all practical purposes, nosin tam of gam is mutter. At least in HaTorah, nosin tam of gam is mutter. Now, truth to be told, not all Tanoim agree to that, but that's a we pass in halacha. The Mefarshei Gemara we pass in the way of halacha. And the source for nosin tam of gam is a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says lo sochu kol nevela. Don't eat nevelas. Don't eat an animal that wasn't shechted properly. An animal that dies in any other way except for a kosher shechita is called a nevela. So don't eat that nevela. What should you do with the nevela? Give it to the gerim to eat. Now, gerim here doesn't mean the Jewish gerim. It means the geritosha. There are two kinds of gerim in halacha. The Torah speaks about something that's about a ger tzedek, what we call today a ger. And a ger tosha, the word ger, lagur, just means to live. So a ger tosha means someone who's living in Eretz Yisrael. In order to live in Eretz Yisrael, he has to meet the conditions. The conditions are he can't be an Ovid of Azar, he has to follow the Shabbos of Bnei Noach, he can't kill people, can't rob, he can't bow down to idols. The basic code of the Shabbos of Bnei Noach. He's what's called, and he accepts this upon himself in a base, and he becomes what's called the Ger Toshev. So the Torah says we should help the Ger Toshev. We have to forget, we have mechuyv to support the Ger Toshev. So the Torah says if you have an animal, you just try to shecht it, you messed up. So what you can do with it? You can throw it to the garbage. You can't eat it yourselves. Give it to the Ger Toshev. The Ger Toshev shechti na v'chola. Or if you want, you could sell it to the Nachrib, even the people who are not really living in Eretz Yisrael. A guy's coming in, he's a stranger, he's coming in, he visits. Sell him the meat. Do something with the meat. Don't throw it to the garbage. So the Torah is describing nevela as edible. Someone's eating it. It doesn't say to take the nevela and throw it to the garbage. It says, give it to somebody to eat. A raya. We're talking about edible kind of meat. So Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah makes the following observation. If the Torah is describing edible kind of meat, that must be teaching us that only edible meat is also Rishon Nevela. And if it's not edible anymore, if it's what's called Eina Ruya Lager, then it's ois nevela, then it loses the issur of nevela. And that is the source for this entire principle of nosin tam lufgam. This is a very, very helpful principle. This saves us to take bad-tasting medicine, and this saves us when our dishes, when our pots are more than 24 hours. A lot of dinim in practical kashrus today that are predicated on this assumption called nosin tam lufgam. So comes the Rashba in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, and the Rashba says, once we accept this principle of nosin tam lufgam, let's define it properly. How bad-tasting is bad-tasting? When we say that nosin tam lufgam is mutter, we're talking about a piece of meat that is rotten through and through, that nobody, you can't even smell it, so miserable. Or is nosin tam lufgam mean, it's off a little bit. It's like, you know, when you go to the fridge by Wednesday afternoon, leftovers from Shabbos, it's not spoiled, rotten. Maybe by next week it's spoiled, rotten. It's not rotten, rotten. On the other hand, it's off. Doesn't smell so good. Doesn't taste so great. So what degree of tam is necessary for us to invoke this din? I have a piece of treif of meat, a piece of nevela, a piece of chazer, and I want to know at what point does it dip beneath the point of being also be achila lis min haTorah. So the Rashba has the following observation. Pagam sesha amru, lo shepagim lagamre. Says the Rashba, don't be so machmer, don't insist that it has to be a nice in tam, lagamre, lagamre, lufgam, miserable, horrible, despicable. No, that is not necessary to permit the meat. El afilu pagim ktsas, says even a little bit could be a matir. What's the Rai of the Rashba? Shere kedei resheina bas yoma, eina pagemis el ma'at. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah that if you accept the view of nosin tam lufgam mutter, which we do, so the following phenomenal kula kicks in. It's something that we use all the time. Everybody knows that if we messed up something in the kitchen, the first question the rabbi is going to ask is, was it used for 24 hours? So let's imagine that we have a chaza pot, a pot that the goy cooked chaza in the last month. And now by mistake, I forgot the kasher, and now I cooked my potato soup in it. Come right to the rabbi, I have a potato soup cooked in a tray for pot. So the rabbi will ask me, did you use it in the last 24 hours? No, I haven't used it in 24 hours. Good, Baruch Hashem, you haven't used it in 24 hours. B'di'evid, the food is kosher. What? Based on who? Based on what? The Gemara says, based on very simple, that the tam of the chaz has been sitting inside the walls of this pot for more than 24 hours. It doesn't taste very good. Sitting inside a metal pot and sitting exposed, it's starting to become meostic. It's starting to become, it's tam, it's there. I'm not saying it's not there, but it's no sin tam of gam. Just as the piece of nevela itself that was left out in the sun and is rotting is okay, because it's not ru'i l'ger, so it's excluded from the exercise of nevela, so too the tam inside the walls of the pot is excluded as well. So the Gemara says this explicitly in the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah, that anything that's been eino ben yomo, anytime the food inside the walls of the pot has been sitting around for 24 hours, so that cannot pose a problem. It doesn't mean that lechachid you don't have to kasha the pot still. There are other reasons, but me'ikra de medaraisa for sure, anything done with this pot after 24 hours is okay. That's what the Gemara formulates the famous phrase, la'osra teira el kader bas yoma, that pots that are osra, treif of pots really only makes sense within 24 hours of use. After 24 hours of use, mikra din, they're not treif anymore. So says the Rashba, I wouldn't have a clue how to measure this, but says the Rashba, imagine if we can get ourselves into the walls of this pot and with that tongue and taste the bleas at that point. Says the Rashba, how bad do you think those bleas would be? You think they would be miserable all of 24 hours? How bad did the meat get in 24 hours? So says the Rashba, mistama, it wouldn't be so bad. So back to the Rashba again. So the Rashba says, Elamat v'afilu hachi amru de kederu she'ena bas yoma eino aseres. So Chazal have testified for us that a kederu she'ena bas yoma, 24 hours have passed, the pot doesn't trafe things up. So he said that if that's the case, that's a proof positive that the barometer that we're using, the measurement of pagam, doesn't have to be so bad. As long as it's a little bit off, it's lefgam b'miktsas, it's a pagam of mashu, that already has dipped beneath the point of being a problem. V'im taimer asks the Rashba, if that's true, that no sintam lefgam doesn't have to be so bad, v'alo no sintam lefgam minevele gamrinan la. Says the Rashba, wait a second, what was the source of no sintam lefgam in the first place? That if it's edible to the goyim, then it's also b'shem nevela. And if it's not edible, then it's not. Ustam nevela roi l'geshma nevela. So wait a second. That Gemara, that pasuk is talking about, would a person eat it? And the answer is, of course he would eat it. A person would eat such a thing, just because it's nifkam b'miktas, Why is that called in real gear? Well, you wouldn't give a person yesterday's leftovers. Of course you would give. 24 hours, you wouldn't give food. It's already, you know, most of us know by Wednesday we may still be eating Shabbos leftovers. So what do you mean all of a sudden after 24 hours it does become so pogum? So says the Rashba, I don't understand. The original source for the din of Ein Ruah L'Ger conjures up the image of a rotten, despicable piece of food. That's what the Torah seems to be describing. When the meat's been sitting out for 6 months in the sun, and it's spoiled, rancid, through and through. Alzeh ne'amar it's mutter. And now we're borrowing that. We're saying, oh, by the way, the Tom has been inside the walls of a pot for 24 hours. It doesn't taste too bad. If I got inside that wall, I can eat it. It's not so bad. No satam of gam is mutter. So make up your mind. What is the shear? Is the shear just off a little? Pagam b'miktzas? Was the shear pagam legamri no longer edible at all? So says the Rashba, look, Kasha. Says the Rashba, is that brisket teretz? No. There are two different halachas of no satam of gam. And because there are two different halachas of no satam of gam, each one has its own shear. Says the Rashba, look, Kasha. The hasam hainu la'atir b'fnei atzma. The original case of Noset Dam of Gam, the case of the spoiled piece of meat, I want to eat that meat itself. It's not mixed in with anything, it's not on the walls of pots, it's not a tarobis, it's a piece of meat, a piece of nevela sitting on the table. Rabbi, I want to know, at what point is this meat become permissible? So the Torah says, if you want to eat a piece of nevela, you have to wait till the following. It has to reach the point where no human being would ever touch such a thing. It has to be pogim legamre. If it's reached the point that no ger teishav, no goy, no one would ever touch such a thing, that's the gloy milsa, that's called ein ruah l'ger, ein ruah l'achila, it's nifsa b'chilas adam, and that meat becomes mutar min ha-Torah. That's because you want to eat the meat itself. That's the key phrase that Rashi says, latir b'frei atzma, adam ifko legamre mechilas ger asura. Aval, is it ta'aroves, shahokhe bo achai nesinas taimo, Kevin should know sin tam of gam kol shu b'taruvaso mutter v'she'en anas sin tam v'yad rabba poigem. So comes the Rashba and says, in the case of the pot, the tray for taste that's sitting in the walls inside the walls of the pot, the nevelis, the chazer that's balu inside the walls of the pot, I'm not going inside the walls of the pot and eating nevela. What I'm doing is I'm cooking potato soup. Now some of that tam, I can't even see the tam anymore. That tam is being ma'ar v'yachad into my potato soup. So it's creating an iser derech taroves. It's not an echila be'en. You know, we've been learning chulin for too long. So we think that, what's the difference between eating a piece of treif of meat and eating potato soup that had a blia from a walls of a pot? So we think, dos nevela, dos nevela. No, it's not true. It's not exactly the same. One is nevela be'en, and one is nevela de taroves. Says the Rashba, when you're dealing with nevela be'en, you want to be matir a slice of beef. It's got to be pretty rotten in order to be matir a slice nevela. You want to be matir a tam and nevela balu inside the walls of a pot that's mixing up inside the potato soup. To be aser ayadei tam, says the Rashba, that's okay, because that's not called nesin tam. Nosin tam means not just it's giving off tam, it's improving tam, it's helping the taste. If it's not helping the taste of the food, then it's not asur. But to eat that degree of pagam b'fri atzmo, that's crazy. That's what it's a deraisa. That's the asur of the Rashba. So then the Rashba goes on and he says, how do you know whether we're dealing with a be'en or whether we're just dealing with a nosin tam? How do you know? It's pretty obvious. One is I'm looking at the slab of meat, and the other I'm looking at a pot of potato soup that somewhere somebody told me Baruch HaKodesh that there's tam inside. Those two extreme cases are very, very obvious. But sometimes it's not as obvious. Sometimes I have pieces of meat that are mixed together, that are crushed up. I can't tell. Is this just tam? Is this be'en? So the Rashba goes with the following hagdor, the following definition. V'davka, kishin is arev isa muad l'sochete meruba. He says it all depends on the magic word of rov. If rov of the food in front of you is a davar hamutter, so then we're only reckoning with tam. That's not be'en. That's tam. And once you're dealing with tam, then you're entitled to the lower shear of nosetam l'fgam. Even though it's not rotten legamre, it's just dipped a little bit beneath the point of being very, very tasty. As long as you're not in the parsha of en, you're in the parsha of taroves, parsha of tam, you can get away with a very, very minuscule nosetam l'fgam to be mutter. Aval isa meruba l'sochete muat, v'afilu mechza mechza, Says the Rashi, but if you have a mixture, but the numbers in the mixture are against you, the numbers in the tarobas are such that you have more Isser than Heter here. I have 51% Isser to 49% Heter, or even a 50-50. If you don't have Rove in the direction of Heter, so then Api Aloch, you're dealing with a Be'er. That's called real piece of Nevela. And when you're in the parish of real live, real dead piece of Nevela, then the shear is, it has to be Nifkan Lagami, 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 in order to be Matir. So the Rashi really just told us two big breakthroughs, two big Chidushim in the Sugya. He made the observation that clearly Chazal are using different shiurim in terms of what is Nosin Tam Lefgam. How do you define Lefgam? Some places Chazal defining Lefgam is referring to absolute rotted through and through. Some places Chazal referring to Lefgam is meaning it's a little shvach. It's not the person failed. Got a B minus. There's a big difference in the two. So sometimes the halacha is insisting on an absolute pagam, and sometimes the halacha is saying a minuscule pagam is sufficient. What's the answer? The Rashi is very simple. When you're dealing with the Isser Atzmo, then the requirement for pagam goes very, very, has to be very, very high. The standards have to be very, very high in order to reach pagam level. When you're dealing with Derech Tarovas, not so high, not so bad. Says the Rashba, how do you know practically whether you're dealing with an Isser Atzmo Tarovas? The answer is very simple. Tarovas means you have Rov Heter. If you have Rov Heter, you're good to go. If you have Rov Isser, then you're not good to go. And that's, those are the two questions you have to ask yourselves. So you have to ask question number one, is this an Isser Be'atzmoi, or is this a Idei Tarovas? And once I answer that question, then I plug in the formula, which level of Pagam is necessary. That's the Yisodei 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 Rashba.
Okay. Wouldn't one say that Tam Kiker elevates
Oh, so clearly the Rashba is not saying that. You're right. That there may be someone want to say it. The Rashba is clearly learning the time came from today till tomorrow, but it's still not the Nevela Atzmo. That's right. That's what the Rashba is saying. Others may disagree with that Rashba. The Rashba is clearly saying that. But there's a big dilemma for this Rashba. How do we know the din of let's say waiting 24 hours and then the food becomes mutter? How do we know the din, the second din of Tam Pogam? The din of Tam Pogam Ayde Taroves, where did that come from? So the Gemara says Beferish in Masechet Avodah Zarah, it's derived from the Yevela Shen Ruah L'Ger. The Gemara says black and white, Lo Sochu Kol Yevela, that teaches me that it has to be Ruah L'Ger, and therefore, Lo Ashvatar El Kedera Bas Yerba. The Gemara links the two. According to the Rashi, but these two dinim are so different from one another, the shiurim are so radically different from one another, they're not doing each other. We use the same term, no sin tam lefgam, because we don't have any other words, any other terms to use. So we call doses tam lefgam and doses tam lefgam, they're not the same. One conjures up an image of an issa b'fnei atzmo, rotten to the core. One conjures up an image of derech taroves, which is not so rotten, just up to a little bit shvach, it's up to Tuesday afternoon cholent, it's not so terrible. Tuesday afternoon of last week's show, not next week's show. So it's a little bit off, but not so terrible. So according to the Rashba, who created these models, the Rashba was so forced at the friendship between the two, now we're left to ask, so wait a second, if they're so different, so how does one derive from another? The whole source for both of them is the same pasuk, L'sochol Nevela. So the Rashba succeeded in separating these two as far apart as possible. The problem is, in the Gemara, they're not so far apart. In the Gemara, they seem to be derived from the same source. How can you have two dinim that are so radically different from one another, derived from the same source, from the same pasuk? So the Rashba succeeded in separating, but we need a little kosher lezav gumnachak yamsuf. We have to get them back on the same team because we have gone overboard in terms of keeping them too far apart from one another. So hopefully that's shum to the next year. We'll have to figure out what the answer to that dilemma is and eventually find ourselves back to Eidim Vatnes Rechila. Just until the next year, I know we said that.